get a load of these wrestling nerds. Together, they've completely wasted a huge portion of their lives watching, enjoying, analyzing, loving, and hating pro wrestling. They're a couple of pro wrestling losers.
That's not untrue.
Lifers. Pro wrestling lifers. That's what they are. Here's JR and Moose with the Pro Wrestling Lifers Podcast.
Uh-oh, he's ready for something.
Go time.
It's totally go time. The Munster is in the house. Right, perfect for... We're almost at Frankenstein Friday.
Did you say Munster?
Yeah.
Eddie Munster?
You got the Munster in there. It's Monster.
Yeah.
But Frankenstein Friday tomorrow, Halloween next week. We got the crown jewels.
We do. Do we have a Halloween Havoc coming?
I wish.
Are we going to get anything on the network?
Well, and here's the thing.
Or am I going to have to go back and watch 96 again?
You watch these trademark names that they do. And you fear that some of them come true, and you wish the other ones would.
Yeah.
They recaptured the trademark for Halloween Havoc, but they haven't done anything with it yet.
Make us wait for it.
A month and a half ago, they trademarked Shorty G, and look what happens.
We got a new star on the rise.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Hey, I forgot to mention last week, I had two anniversaries to mention.
Okay.
It was our 52nd episode. It was our year thing, but that wasn't it.
Okay. What was it? What was it then?
The first thing was 2 years ago last week, or 2 years ago about this time, James Ellsworth and AJ Styles. James Ellsworth almost became the WWE champion on SmackDown Live.
That's right. I totally forgot about that.
2 years ago. 1 year later, we got the man.
We did.
1 year later, we got the man a year ago last week. So those anniversaries I forgot to mention. We got so caught up in what we were talking about.
Yeah,
one
anniversary kind of stands out more than the other there.
I know. Ellsworth was pretty huge.
Yeah. Man, what a story that is. I'd like to get to the bottom of all that one day.
I don't need to.
And really figure out what the hell happened.
You know, it's kind of like you look at him and you look at like guys like Leo Rush that are coming back, and you hear rumors, you hear speculations, you don't know what's what.
Yeah.
Now, Leo Rush's situation was completely different than James Ellsworth.
He was just kind of a DB.
Right, but the whole thing is now he's come back, he's in the good graces, he's
a champion.
He's a champ, and he's a hell of a performer.
Oh, yeah.
The Moth rules. Totally rules. Dude, it's been a good week for wrestling.
It has, and I got to say, right off the jump here, welcome to the season premiere,
right,
of Pro Wrestling Lifers. Can we clap it up 1 second?
It's season two, right?
Did you ever think that we would make it a full year, let alone calling it a season?
Talk about long seasons to watch. You thought Game of Thrones was long.
Gosh.
I just got done wrapping up Gotham. It had 22 episodes in each season.
Holy smokes.
But we had 52 episodes in one season. That's a lot to keep
no
track of.
No off season for us here.
But here's the deal. If you want to listen to this podcast, you have to start with podcast, the very first one.
Oh, gosh.
And catch yourself all the way up.
I don't know if you can make it through the first 10 minutes of the first episode.
We should go back and listen to that, like, live during a podcast when we have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, be like, let's critique our old shows here.
Fortunately, we have not only Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, but NWA Power now.
Yeah, man.
Keeping us full of action.
And they're doing some really cool stuff right now. Like, I really look forward to Tuesdays, 6:05, 5:05 for us.
Yeah, it's 5:05 for us, and it was funny when it came out. I got a chance to catch the first part. If you want to talk about that, let's talk about that first. It's on the agenda when it comes to what you have to watch now, because it's so convenient to watch it.
It's easy.
You can DVR all you want, and you can do things with the NXT and the WWE and AEW, but it's so great to watch it live.
Yeah,
this is so set up perfectly to be watched at any time.
Yeah, live or on demand. Like, it's actually airing while I'm on the air doing my show here. So maybe more than once or twice I've watched it during my broadcast where
right.
I probably shouldn't. But usually when I get back to the crib is when I'll pop it back on, and I'm just as excited because it's brand new to me. It just came out that day.
It's funny commercials. It's got, of course, Pro Wrestling School advertisements, but the wrestling is great and it's old school. It's JR's talking slobber knocker kind
right.
of stuff. Not everybody is in perfect shape. I mean, you know, one of the things right at the beginning of the show, I don't think it was the very first thing, but when Aaron comes out, what's Aaron's last name? Not the former Damian Sandow. Is it Aaron?
Is it with an S?
I can't remember what his last name is. Can't have eye contact with him.
Yeah.
But he comes out to debut the...
his film.
His film.
Aaron Stevens.
Aaron Stevens.
Just hit me.
And a blank... Oh, it's Tropical Pirates.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to see that movie.
You're never going to see that film.
I was just watching this video about some upcoming movies coming out with wrestling stars like... Dune with Batista's coming out. The Rock, and of course, had
Doom.
Jurassic. Dune.
Okay, I was gonna say they already been down that road.
Dune. If you ever want to see a really bad movie, watch the original Dune.
What is Dune about?
You don't want to know. Okay. It's kind of like Blade Runner ish. If you ever watch Blade Runner,
never.
You're looking at me like your eyes are glazed over.
No idea.
No idea what I'm talking about. I'm so old.
Yeah.
But it's no
Blade Runners were a tag team. That's all I knew.
Either way, they're no Tropical Pirates. Are they talking about CM Punk's new video or new movie that's coming out with the haunted house and everything, which is totally sick looking. You haven't seen this?
No.
Dude, I thought you were a wrestling fan.
Yeah, I am, but I have to now pick and choose where I give my attention. There's just spreads me so thin here.
And they were also talking about another classic. I mean, true classic, not Miz level.
No
classic.
Holds barred.
Not even no holds barred. But Bret Hart is going to be a private eye.
What?
In a Corey Feldman film that's coming out soon.
Why? What about Bret Hart's appearance screams private eye?
Everything does.
No.
I mean, he's. I don't know. He's kind of crotchety. You put a trench coat on him. He's a private dick right there, man.
I don't know. I don't know about
PI for hire.
I don't know about Bret Hart as the I would not hire him to investigate anything.
It sounds like a classic. It's no Tropical Pirates.
That's not coming. And you know what I hope?
I love that they put all the effort into this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The previews and everything. They had all this B-roll to
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was so great.
I hope there's another premiere the following week, next week.
Another trailer, like trailer number two before it drops.
Or a new outfit in a new movie. He's been working on so many.
But this whole thing was about Tim Storm. I unfortunately missed a little bit of it. Did you catch some of the Tim Storm stuff?
I did. I actually watched the whole show. And it opened up with a recap with a story of Aldis and Camille about Joe Galli, the broadcast journalist.
Right.
Trying to get a interview with them.
Wait a second. In WWE, you got your favorites, Bayley.
Right.
And Lacey Evans is a strong second, I'm guessing.
Right.
Okay. Is it the new Bayley or old Bayley that's number one right now?
New Bayley.
New Bayley. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So in NWA, Camille has got to be number one for you.
Camille, she is like, she's a silent assassin.
You think
girl.
So?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And she's tough, man.
Yeah. Well, she took that clothesline like a champ.
Oh, absolutely. And to me, honestly, I've been having this debate with one of my pals, Joe, lately. And I go, you look at the rosters of the wrestling that we watch here. Who stands out to you that could actually main event a WrestleMania?
In which
you could look at NXT, you could look at All Elite, and you could look at NWA.
Mm-hmm.
What is your short list of competitors on each of these respective shows that you feel could actually be the main event in the biggest wrestling show of the year?
Well, I think what's with WWE is possibly put themselves in a corner because their main event involved Ronda Rousey last year. So somebody that wasn't quite in the wrestling mode, and they put star power behind so much stuff. It all depends on the story.
Yeah.
Dude, you watched NWA Power and you watched the Tim Storm and the first episode. That story itself
hooked you
so hard.
Right off the jump.
It wasn't a Daniel Bryan type story, but if that kind of story lasted, you know, over months of time where you just got behind this guy and you couldn't wait for him to finally reach the pinnacle, a la Kofi.
Right.
You know, Kofi Kingston.
And it's real cool because they're continuing the Perfect Storm whole thing here.
Yeah.
And this past week, we'll dive into here. I kind of want to go through the results. But then again, you and I kind of talked off the air last week about how I don't want our show to more or less be, this is what happened. This is what we think about it.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think people aren't going to really care. I think we got to get creative.
Yeah.
Right? And outside of being creative, we also have to give hot takes on things rather than just blow away opinions, right?
Sure.
So that's why I wanted to come out the gate with this. You look at guys like Cody Rhodes, right?
Sure.
I could totally see him main eventing whoever's brand biggest show of the year. I think he's the only
I think for AEW, he would definitely be in that main event picture of their biggest, you know,
right,
pay-per-view, whatever it may be.
Well, let's just keep it simple here. Let's just put it as the main event of WrestleMania.
Do you think that...
Doesn't have to be this year. It could be the year after, the year after that. But I look at guys like Cody. I think everything they're doing with him in All Elite on Dynamite is great.
He punched through a glass window.
Yeah, sometimes you get angry. I think Y2J could as well. Outside of those two, I don't really see anybody in that promotion that could be the guy.
There's no emotion.
Right. It's just a bunch of moves for nothing.
I'll disagree with you on there. I think there's one person, if they don't screw it up, would be the main event of WrestleMania this year, and that's, of course, Bray Wyatt.
Right.
Bray Wyatt could be the main event in any pay-per-view if they don't screw this up.
Right.
Which I think in the last pay-per-view, they screwed it up huge.
Yeah.
For me, in my take, I mean, I get that he's a monster. But and it's kind of like the Undertaker.
It comes off a little hokey as of Hell in the Cell.
I think when the Undertaker, you know, I hate to use an inside term, but like no soul, the clothesline and stuff like that, didn't really make him it made him a monster, but it made him, you know, he actually eventually got down, beat down, what, four matches, he finally got knocked off his feet. You know, that was the biggest feat. Not finishers, but just getting knocked off his feet.
Totally.
So there's a complete different thing going on with that. And I think you're right. When it comes to WrestleMania, it's hard to find a person unless you're behind them.
Yeah.
And of course, that's where the story comes in. And I think WWE is doing a good job with some of their stories right now. The best person I can see in a main event, again, Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
Charlotte Flair can totally be in a main event of WrestleMania. Yeah. No matter what they do with her, it's gold.
It's safe to say none of the women in All Elite could
Absolutely not.
Right, because if we're honest with each other, a lot of these girls, and as much as I'm pulling for Britt Baker, because I think she can be a star. She's
killer finisher.
Not putting it together. I don't think the All Elite women's division can really hold a candle to what WWE is doing.
I think if you put an NXT next to the women's division of NXT.
Not even close either.
To AEW. Not even close.
Right.
NXT blows them out of the water. I think, fortunately and unfortunately, in some ways, that's what WWE has done, is they focused on the women's division, fortunately, to improve it. But unfortunately, when you've got your eye on one prize, you always forget about another. And I think they're trying to correct this as we speak. I mean, this crown jewel we've got coming up with Brock Lesnar being a main event person, I can see that every single time.
Every single week.
Every single time.
Yep.
But Seth Rollins, I can see it, but there has to be something behind it that's in it for me.
Yeah.
What is in it for me to see him be at the pinnacle of where he's at?
Yeah.
Who's got the charisma that's going to be in that main event? A la The Rock, a la Stone Cold, a la Hulk Hogan. Who does it now? I don't know.
Here's a name for you that I think if this guy were to actually bulk up, because he's not the tallest guy in the world, but neither,
don't tell me Shorty G.
No, but neither was HBK. All right.
Oh, you're talking about Adam Cole.
Yes. I think Adam Cole, on my short list of NXT competitors, I think at some point in his career, he could totally be the main event of WrestleMania. Quite frankly, I think the whole thing happening with Undisputed Era right now is what's really compelling me to continually watch and continually choose NXT over Dynamite.
Yeah, I think...
it just got a whole lot better at the end of this week's episode, if you saw it.
Yeah, I think WWE did a great, or NXT did a perfect thing by, you got that extension on USA Network where you can go over.
Capitalize on it.
And of course, they capitalized on it. Hugely, if I could borrow a term. They totally, as soon as that the TV got flipped off on TNT and you went over there, you saw one of the biggest, gosh, maybe shocking moments so far of maybe this year.
I didn't see it coming at all. And of course.
And it was so quick.
Yeah, and of course, we're talking about Finn Balor joining up with the Undisputed Era.
Remember the thing he said when he came out? He said, my past is going to be my future.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But we thought it was NXT's past, and then he did the double guns.
Yep.
Dude, it's the Bullet Club
and
coming
back. And then
you
have everybody up, you know, in the ring, Cole and the boys tossing up the Undisputed Era. And does the OC come into play at this at any point?
I don't know in NXT, but I mean, if he becomes a stable leader, I think within NXT, you've got plenty of people to be in your stable.
This could be literally like the coolest thing since DX or the NWO.
How perfect is it though?
Yeah.
You've got the Bullet Club going against members of the Bullet Club in AEW.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really cool.
The cleaner, he's over in AEW.
Mr. Handjazz.
I'm telling you.
Gosh.
It's a pretty genius move. Obviously, they had this idea way back.
Right.
Because Finn was never going to come back to fight Firefly Funhouse, Bray Wyatt, whatsoever.
No.
He took his break. He's going to NXT.
And I think for him,
had competition with the Bullet Club going against the former Bullet Club.
Perfect. You know, obviously I can't read his mind, but if I were to speculate, I'd say for Finn, he probably just like genuinely thinks that this is just a better feel. This is a better fit for him. This is a better type of product for him to showcase what he can do, because there's no secret here. Finn Balor is one of the better in-ring competitors in the world.
Right.
And I think this whole thing with the Undisputed Era and just, I don't know, the overall shock value of it, but immediately your immediate reaction is to be upset, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then quickly your mind starts to turn and you go, wow, this is cool.
But the educated fan that has saw the the New Japan stuff with the Bullet Club and Prince Devitt is super excited. What's really cool is the uneducated fan is going through the time of their life because they're getting that first taste of Bullet Club. If you watch the New Japan stuff, you were like, oh, that's so cool. Or if you watch I've watched several videos of the history of the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. And so it's such a bum deal that I missed all of that.
Yeah.
But to get the past of it and go, wow, this is really, really cool. Now it's coming back.
And a whole new, it has a big, fresh paint of coat, right?
What do you think about this, though? You kind of think about stables and who would be in that stable. I don't see like a Matt Riddle joining that thing.
No.
But I do see somebody that's on the main event roster going to NXT.
Yeah.
Cesaro.
Really?
You imagine Cesaro pulling the double guns? I can see it.
You know,
I can totally see that.
You know, I maybe could too under the right circumstances.
He would definitely be a good muscle.
But I would love to see him combat against them. I think more so.
I think the Undisputed Era against him and whoever else. Because I don't think that there's, I don't know where they're going with this, but I hope that they're going where they're their own thing.
Oh, yeah.
They'll battle anybody.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if you're a heel, if
they
you're
already
a face.
They already have like held them, and like they already hold the majority of the gold here.
Right.
It's kind of cool, man.
Yeah, it's real super cool.
I like it. Like I know, last week I started off watching All Elite Live, and quickly I was just like, man, what the hell am I watching here?
Okay, you want to talk about that? Because we talked about this off mic a little bit, and I wouldn't tell you what I thought.
Yeah.
All right, so what I think right now, JR actually had a...
And we'll get back to the power here in a minute.
Yeah, power. We got off track a little bit, but this is a good conversation. The JR actually had a point. He actually kind of condemned his own brand at one point, talking about, sure, you get to do flips and you do this and do that, but if you don't get emotion involved, you're dead in the water, which I think that's exactly what AEW is doing. Beside the Cody stuff with Chris Jericho, whatever Chris Jericho is with, you're emotionally invested.
Oh, yeah.
Just are. I'm not emotionally invested in Jon Moxley.
No.
I'm just not. Now, the match that he had, I watched it on Wednesday night, or last night. It was a brutal match, but halfway through the match, when they kept talking about the time limit, you knew it was going to the time limit. You knew the ending already.
Kept bringing it up.
Right. And you knew it wasn't going to end. They're not going to have one of those two beat each other. That's going to be for a pay-per-view, Full Gear or whatever's coming up. But they were just, I mean, he did a 450 splash on the floor from the ring. Why?
I don't know.
I don't. And you talked about power.
Yeah.
we talked about watching Power. Now, for all its hokiness,
right,
the storytelling is completely there because a clothesline means a lot.
Yep.
Kick to the groin. It's over. It's a finish. All these back body drops are a big deal. Body slams are a big deal. And they make it very entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't need to see now.
You know what they do?
Let me tell you, the Lucha Brothers and everything like that, jumping around the ropes, it's amazing. Give me a little of that.
It's a spectacle.
There's amazing points to that, and I love watching it. But I want to see them do this for 20 years.
Yeah.
The way that they're going right now, it's kind of like the Attitude Era where they're banging each other in the head with chairs.
Totally.
It's not going to last.
No.
And then you're going to be stuck with what?
And I think the problem with that stuff is, and a lot of the things that I see on Dynamite, and I'm sure we're going to see a buttload more of it on Full Gear, is that it's really, well, let's just do big moves for the sake of doing big moves rather than two guys trying to win a match. You got to think, this is supposed to be a competition. This is supposed to be a wrestling match. And well, I just don't get that feeling. It feels like it doesn't matter. It's all just for fun with your friends or something.
Well, and if you want to be an ass on something too, like you put something in your trunks, mm-hmm. Hey, he's got a roll of quarters and he punched him in the face.
Or in your boot.
Right. Something, that's the kind of stuff you're going to see on NWA Power. Yeah. Wanted to make sure I got
three R's
in there.
It's more powerful that way.
It's better than the pirate sound that I would make otherwise.
Oh gosh.
The whole point is the storytelling is the simplest things. It could be a look, it could be a feel, it could be anything. But again, Young Bucks, amazing.
Yeah.
Their match last night, amazing.
I started drinking their Kool-Aid like two, three years ago.
High quality pay-per-view match.
Yeah.
On regular TV, which is great. The crowd, insane. They're into it. Of course, they're going to be with what they're doing. But you can't keep that pace up. You have to start going, hey, why are we doing this? Who's doing this? What's the story? You can't be bashing people into glass tables for no reason.
Make things matter.
Glass table.
Yeah, make it matter.
Chris Jericho, on the other hand, is trying to create those stories that are going to last a while.
Right.
And I think I think that's going to be your biggest story of the year. And it's going to be the thing people remember most.
I agree.
I don't think that, yes, the finisher for the Young Bucks, some of the moves that they do are just absolutely incredible. But if there's no emotion behind that, if you're not, what's the thing they're saying now? The kids are saying, if you're not getting me in the feels.
Right.
Forget it.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
Is that right? Getting in the feels?
Yeah, and I don't want this like season premiere to come across as a drag or to come across as, oh, let's just talk about all the things that we don't like, because there's way too much of that out on the internet. And I'll be the first to tell you, just don't flip and watch it then.
Yeah.
Right? But there are a lot of things happening
that
have us excited.
Today and now, it's so exciting because if you don't want to watch it, you can turn it off and watch something else because you have five other choices.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think everybody knows that. And I think that's why you're getting some of these storylines. Dude, the Pele kick happened so quick.
Yep.
There was nothing about, and that's the thing I loved about it too. There was no like waiting for the moment for him to turn. When Bayley, kind of did her first turn before she cut down the wacky wavy arm people the week after, it was so predictable that she was going to do it. He walked in, took his jacket off. Halfway of taking his jacket off, whack, hit him right in the face.
Yeah.
And still left the question of whose side is he on?
You don't know.
Because I think it could be on anybody's side.
Yeah.
And he has a new finisher, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's the old finisher that he had.
Yeah, I think so.
What's it, Sunday Bloody Sunday or something?
Yeah, something like that.
The DDT? I didn't catch the finisher.
Pretty much.
Okay. But it was on the ramp or whatever.
Yeah.
On the steel ramp.
Watch out.
But see, that's the thing. That impact, using the steel ramp once, story told, move forward. On Impact, or not Impact, but on Dynamite, you're getting everybody's falling on the apron. Everybody, the flips that they're doing with their hands in their pockets and all this stuff. I get it. It's entertaining.
The way I look at it is, think about it like this, Moose. Think about any like local wrestling shows you've been to,
mm-hmm.
right? And think about the main event. It's probably their two best and most athletic guys, right?
Right.
Now take all of them
mm-hmm.
and put them on one card, and all of them are having the same match.
Right.
They're all having a match like it's the main event at a local independent show.
Right.
I don't like that. Not every match has to be a Broadway. Not every match has to be 20, 25 minutes.
No, it doesn't.
And some guys shouldn't be, and there's no reason that stupid skateboarding guy should have even nearly been competitive with Chris Jericho. The guy beat The Rock and Stone Cold on the same night.
He did the backflip with his hands, so a tie behind his back.
So you're telling me that this skateboard guy could beat The Rock and Stone Cold?
Come on. Not in the least bit. I think that's where they kind of caught themselves like, okay, we've got to do something, but the whole narrative is Jericho.
Right.
Jericho's the narrative. They've got that part right. It's just how do we put him in a match and then help other people at the same time? I don't think the Aubrey guy, I think some of the things he's doing is inventive, but I don't see him as a superstar just yet.
Same. And real quick question for you. How do you envision All Elite, like starting from the jump here, without Chris Jericho on board?
Well, it's all the Cody show.
It has to be, right?
I think it's going to be exactly what they had at TNA. Cody is going to be the new Jeff Jarrett.
Who does he go against?
They've got some characters, but Moxley makes a big deal out of himself, and I think Moxley would be the guy.
I've always said this forever. He's lazy.
I think in some aspects you're correct on that. I still think he can do something. What that is, his unpredictable nature is not played off of enough. Okay, last night he lost them, or they went to a time limit. Then he knocked out the referee. It's kind of cool,
right?
Reassesses himself as a badass, but there's not enough of unpredictability.
Yeah.
You know, why is he off the chain? Why is he the way he is? Why does he move and groove? Like, it's okay. There it is. And I think right now we're in pre-Monday Night War mode where it's like, oh, it's something different. It's something cool.
And then, we kind of tend to look at things and make them out to be a little better than they might actually be.
Sure. Or worse than they might actually be,
But
too.
With that said, the highlight of Wednesday night was Finn Balor joining the Undisputed Era, and I think that is what is going to continue me watching NXT live.
Did he join though? I don't think he joined.
No, he did.
I don't think he joined.
He's in.
Watch.
We'll see.
There's no room for five.
Yeah, of course there is.
No. He's going to make his own Bullet Club.
No.
Yep. He's there for the gold. You want to bet on this?
Let's bet the title on it.
I'm not betting the title.
Let's bet
on
the briefcase.
It's where it belongs right now.
All
right. They both belong right here. There's some things that are going on that are fun. There's some things that are going on that are a lot more enjoyable.
I like that there's a truce now, an R-truce between Maverick and R-truth.
Is there truce?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
WWE has this, I don't even know what you would call it. What is that show called that they just launched like a week ago?
Oh, The Bump.
Dude, it should be.
Dude, get off your negative Nancy.
It should be The Dump.
You're such a negative Nancy.
No, it's just a bad show. But the cool thing about it was Maverick comes on with R-Truth and they create the R-Truce.
The R-Truce.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather see those two as friends.
Well, as the 21 time, 24/7, 48/5.
European title
champ. I think we've got to find some new story people, some more fun folks. I mean, EC3, this is perfect for him. I think even the guys from Heavy Machinery.
Dude.
I think there's some characters out there that we're not seeing that could benefit from this. I think R-Truth is, it's been fun. Give it a break.
Yeah.
I mean, he's worked his butt off on this thing. And so has Maverick.
Making this
Maverick
thing popular.
Has completely worked his butt off on this.
Oh, yeah.
Made great names for themselves. What's Maverick going to do now, though?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure.
Is he back in the ring? Is he going to be part of NXT?
I'd like to see him as a manager, as a flat-out manager.
I'm with you. 100%. 100%. get him a team that's just way bigger. AOP.
Yeah.
I mean, you imagine him being the leader of the AOP?
He was.
I know, but yeah. Bring it back.
As this new Maverick.
Yeah. So I think that...
it could be cool.
It would be fun. That or some kind of... maybe he's the manager of Curt Hawkins.
That could be cool.
And Zack Ryder. You know what I mean?
Trust me, guys. I'm going to take you right to the top. And it's just shortcoming after shortcoming.
Titus Incorporated or whatever. He did the same thing and brought him out just to lose everything.
Yeah, he was going to manage them to the top. They were going to be successful.
Sorry, guys.
I like that.
My bad. That's on me.
I saw this funny video on Instagram. Speaking of Titus O'Neil, he runs into Batista. And Batista's asleep on some random couch on some like film set.
Right.
And he walks in and he goes, I'm going to go surprise my dog here with a copy of my book. So he comes in. He's like, yeah, it's signed and everything. So he comes in and he Batista's asleep, wakes him up. And he's like, dude, what's up? And he goes, I brought you a copy of my book. I signed it. He goes, and Batista already has a copy of the book on the table. He goes, yeah. I read it today. And he goes, no, but this one I signed. Read this one. So then out of nowhere, Titus pulls a baseball bat out. And he goes, no, I said read my book again. So Batista starts reading the book again. It was too good.
Is this something new?
I don't know. It was just on Instagram. They're just like making up their own stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought it was super funny. He's holding the bat. Smack it in his hand. No, read my book again.
Oh, I've got to watch that.
It was good stuff.
It's not as good as Shorty G.
No, man.
Dude, what's going on with this? I hate the name.
Yeah, but it's
such a short-sighted... I mean, it's a...
All right, good one.
It's a limiting name.
Yeah.
But
it has charm to it.
A little bit.
I found myself in recent weeks really getting behind him.
I think so. I think... I think getting behind him is very easy to do because he's very entertaining. He's a very good wrestler.
Very likable.
Yeah. And he's got a lot more charisma in the ring, such as Bayley. She doesn't have a lot of charisma.
All right, hold on now.
But and I said that just to dig at you. But...
You mother grabba.
I'll tell you, this whole new side of Bayley is fun to watch. I really love the Macho Man influence.
Yeah, and I love the jacket she has on. It's like an HBK kind of deal.
Yeah, and she's actually stepping out of the shadow that's been cast upon her with Sasha Banks.
Yeah, when she was on Miz TV with Sasha, it took her about maybe 10, 15 seconds to get into her kind of, you know, her spiel.
Right.
But once she started going, she started killing it on the mic, and I was so happy about that.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
I think as far as what she's done in the past, I think that was the best, let's say, promo or interview she's done.
I don't think it's the best one she's done, but I think it's where she needs to be, and I think that this character that she has now,
it was that me coming out here with a side tail and hugging everyone, but where were you when I needed a hug? You were nowhere to be found. Screw you. Screw all of you. It's that whole kind of die, Rocky, die. It's that whole, you know, the training prayers and the vitamins don't mean nothing to me, Jack.
Yeah.
I'm all about the money.
Well, here's my problem with it. Does she eventually say, hey, I was kidding, and then destroy Sasha Banks?
No.
What happens?
No, these two need to be... They need to continue the road that they're going on right now.
When does Sasha stab her in the back for the championship?
She doesn't. That's
the
thing.
Dude, that's totally going to happen.
We've already seen that story play out.
It's going to happen.
No.
It's going to happen.
I'm telling you right now.
It almost has to happen.
I just talked to Pritchard before I came in here. He said it's not happening.
Now that he's in charge of Friday Night SmackDown.
Yeah.
On FS1.
Yeah, well, this week because of stupid baseball.
Who watches baseball, really?
Nobody. I only watch
the Nationals are going to destroy the Astros. Who
I only
cares?
Watch baseball movies because at least those are good.
Oh, what is the one of Major League?
Major League, the Wild Thing.
Best one ever.
That's great stuff, man.
I don't know. I think the coolest thing that happened this week too. One of the coolest things because there's a lot of great stuff we haven't talked about yet. The return and the ace in the hole for Team Flair.
Oh.
Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, dude, back from injury, had a really good showing, yeah.
And not only that, but did the whole, was it Alabama Slammer?
Dude.
On the ring again.
And he's so tall that it just looks so brutal.
Well, I don't think it tastes good.
No.
I don't think the corner, that part of the apron, the hardest part of the ring.
Come on.
I don't think that tastes very well.
No.
And Ricochet, this is not the first time he's done it to Ricochet, but it was nice to see. And again, one thing that makes an impact, that right there was the only thing. They did some high-flying stuff. Ricochet does that a lot.
Yeah.
But he's the grounded one. He's the storyteller. And just to do that, I mean, that's one of those things that wakes you up and says, this guy is a BA.
Comes in.
Don't mess with
you. Kicks you in the mouth and makes a statement. Picks up the win.
The things I don't get, though, this Rusev angle.
You're not a fan of this at all.
I love Rusev.
I know you do. That's why you don't like seeing him vulnerable.
Last week, it grew on me to a point because I thought, okay, this is becoming a story. They're giving him a lot of time. And then this past week, it was kind of okay.
He goes, I know exactly where they are.
But I don't
know. And then you're thinking, dude, is he about to show up at this restaurant and just tear the place up?
They're still limiting him. I can't wait to see him just bust out to be that superstar that he is.
I don't think he's being limited at all.
I think he is.
No, I you're way too high on this guy.
No way.
I've always told you, Rusev Day was popular.
Rusev Day.
Himself...
It's always
not,
Rusev Day.
No.
Every day is still Rusev Day.
It's not. And I hope that saying
Rusev Mustache Day
never comes back. I really hope it doesn't because I like what he's doing now much better.
It's a story. It's growing on me in some aspects, but I don't know. There's still some things I'm not appreciative of.
Don't watch Monday Night Raw with your parents when Bobby Lashley comes on the screen. That's
right,
all I can
for
say.
Sure. What does that mean? I don't know, Mom. I don't know what the innuendos mean.
No, I don't get it.
Also, the Cain Velasquez stuff.
Dude.
Good or bad?
I kind of want to change the tone of the season premiere of Pro Wrestling Lifers. But, I mean, at the beginning title, it says we've completely wasted the majority. I think I've been wasting it watching this Cain Velasquez stuff. Because tell me about this. Tell me why Rey Mysterio Jr., a future Hall of Famer, one of the greatest competitors ever, one of the greatest, you know, he could always have that David versus Goliath match. He's probably the greatest cruiserweight in the history of wrestling.
Right.
Why does he look like such a little punk-ass bitch?
Well, I don't think that the
Think so? You think so, Shelton? I'm going to get my friend to come down here.
Here's the thing.
I think do something about it. And I thought it was really cool that they brought Shelton out there on Raw, too, because
awesome.
He does have ties with Brock Lesnar, and I'm really curious to see where this goes. But as far as Rey Mysterio, it's like, oh, yeah? Well, I'll tell my boyfriend, or I'm going to go tell my dad, and he's going to come down here and beat you up.
Yeah, but can you imagine the tag team, first and foremost, of Brock Lesnar and freaking Shelton Benjamin?
Yeah, they were a great tag team.
And can you imagine it today, though?
It'd be awesome.
They both are three times the size they used to be.
Yeah.
And
Shelton can still fly.
He can still fly. The whole Cain Velasquez thing, I thought it was great when Rey Mysterio made the passionate speech 2 weeks ago about his son's godfather, Cain Velasquez. And it was such a passionate thing. And then it turned into this past week. And Cain Velasquez didn't really do a good showing.
No.
It was a couple of, you know, he threw him on the ground a couple of times, like wrestling type moves.
And it looks like he's playing.
Yeah.
It's like you would go out in the yard with your pals and you'd wrestle around.
Right. And there wasn't like, you know, Mayweather broke his freaking nose.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, come in and do something, whether it's some kind of MMA move we haven't seen or you don't normally see. And then it was just a chokehold, and it was done. I was like,
and then he tapped out, and it wasn't a match. Why did you let go?
Yeah, it was okay. This is sending a message to Brock Lesnar. You're gonna lose.
If you look at, if I were just to hand the average person on the street a photograph of Brock Lesnar and a photograph of Cain Velasquez,
now, yes,
who would win in a fight?
They're going to pick Brock Lesnar.
Whoever this huge guy is with the blonde hair,
yeah,
without a doubt,
the knife tattoo on his chest, that guy,
he wins. 10 times out of 10.
I think they're doing an A for storyline when it comes on paper.
Yeah.
It's just when it comes to the actual, you know, storyline, the physical, everything on paper looks really good. This doesn't look good. But you got to remember, this is all for Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
Once Crown Jewel's over, this is done.
But Cain Velasquez signed a multi-year deal. He's going to be around for a while.
I don't see him being a wrestler now. I don't see
him. He wants to be.
He wants to be, But I think that there's a lot of training to do, and I think there's going to be a lot of that time that he's going to be at the performance center.
Some people pick it up quickly, very rarely. Cases like Kurt Angle or Ronda Rousey, even more currently. Cain Velasquez doesn't seem like he's going to be one of them.
But you know what? Ronda Rousey worked her ass off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you saw videos behind the scenes and stuff like that. She was in that ring, first person and first person to leave. First person in, last person out.
Always.
Always, every single day, and they worked her hard.
And she's a natural.
And not just that, but most of her matches were very well choreographed to the point of where if something went wrong and the you can tell when it's like, oh, they're improvising.
Yeah.
She actually pulled it off.
Totally.
I
remember that whole rise of Ronda Rousey, and we maybe should do a show about that at some point.
Right.
But because it was some of the more like riveting stuff that I've ever seen, because every match, not only us fans, but even everybody out in the public, even people that want to see her fail are watching every match, every promo she does, because they want to see her fall on her face. And she proved everybody wrong. Every single match got better and better and better. And then it was like, holy smokes, dude.
There was a couple of stinkers in there. And then there was that one that was with Nikki Bella. Was it Nikki Bella,
yeah.
I think? Where we thought, oh gosh, this is going to be horrible.
Right?
We were worried that Nikki couldn't carry Ronda because we didn't have it in Ronda. But man, that turned out to be a spectacular match.
Yeah, and we came out here on the show first thing. Round of applause for Nikki Bella.
Oh my gosh. It's probably one of the best. I thought that match was better than the main event of WrestleMania, because we knew what we were going to get at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful moment.
It was kind of a screwy 1-2-3 there.
A little bit, but it did open the door.
Yeah.
You know, not purposely. I mean, behind the scenes, they're talking about that's not done on purpose. But don't you think the first thing that Ronda Rousey does when she comes back, she's going to say, she never pinned me.
Yep.
And we're going back at it at WrestleMania. Charlotte's on Raw.
Yep.
The man's on Raw. Ronda Rousey's coming back to Raw.
Golly.
If not Raw, she'll be on SmackDown yelling about the man when it comes to WrestleMania time.
Yeah.
When we finally get on the road, which, dude, can you believe we're 3 months away from the road of WrestleMania?
Yeah, the Rumble.
Not even 3 months.
The Rumble. Coming right up here. I hear soon, man.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed in this Cain Velasquez stuff. He signed a multi-year deal. I don't see him being anything.
The Cain Velasquez thing, obviously, he has a multi-year contract. The person that's not sticking around long time is the Gypsy Boxing King guy.
Oh, absolutely not. That's done, too.
And his stuff is, like, really bad, too.
It's fun.
It's like he's trying not to hurt anybody, because you know he could legitimately punch somebody's face off.
But the thing is they're doing exactly what they need to do, because it's a spectacle.
They got him coming on ESPN, smashing helmets. And
absolutely.
Triple H is there trying to just wrangle him.
But the whole thing of him trying to break a pen and teasing a couple of weeks ago, I thought that's perfect, because
that was good stuff.
The spectacle is going to be there, whether it's going to be a train wreck or not. It's for this crowd.
Do you think this match could actually surprise you and I?
The
Braun and Gypsy King?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No, I think we're gonna get exactly what we're going to get. I think there's going to be some hokiness to it. I mean, think about the last two times that Braun has been in Saudi Arabia. Everything's not worked out.
Yeah.
Not worked out the way they wanted it to. So I don't see it being hopefully I'm surprised.
Exactly. That's
hopefully
what I'm hoping
I'm surprised.
To.
Who I was really surprised at, Humberto Carrillo. Am I saying that right? Carrillo?
What was it? He's a guy from NXT.
Humberto, yeah. He was drafted, like, what, in the third round?
Yeah, and then he comes up and gets a match with Seth Rollins. That was the thing, is I had never even seen this guy before.
Never seen nor heard of him.
Exactly. Same here.
This is how bad of an NXT viewer I have been.
Yeah, well, I watched them pretty often. I had no idea.
This guy was awesome.
Yeah, well, he comes out into the ring. He has cool gear. He has a good look. And you're going to put anybody in the ring with Seth Rollins, he's probably going to get a good match out of him wrestling-wise, right? And those guys tore the house down.
But do you see him with I see him being Intercontinental Champion. I see him
eventually.
Yeah, for sure. You know, maybe battling for the U.S. Championship against AJ Styles. If you remember the AJ Ricochet matches, you're going to get the same thing.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Same thing with this guy. There's a lot going forward with
this
guy.
Well, that's the thing. This big match with Seth Rollins on Raw just puts him into the public spotlight. Everybody on Twitter was raving about this.
It was amazing.
Yeah, and now
it was a perfect. I mean, it's exactly what WWE needs to do, and I think they're trying to do that on AEW with having some of their people fight bigger, but they don't have the storyline straight. Which this one was kind of hokey too, But the result, the match was incredible.
Yeah. So now you have all these eyeballs on this guy, and now he can actually begin his climb. You know what I'm saying? And you'll be invested in him, and you'll want to see him succeed along the way.
And it's funny because Bleacher Report gave the match a C+. They're idiots.
They are idiots.
If you're listening right now and you're in Bleacher Report, you suck.
Bleacher Report can suck it. Straight up.
You got two words for them, huh?
They can absolutely suck it. And you know what they can do? They can take their reviews and they can take their, you know, their WWE bashing, which is no freaking secret. It's obvious. And they can turn it sideways. They can shine it up real nice. And you know the rest.
Well, dude, this has been a good episode. We've got Crown Jewel coming up.
We do.
We got predictions coming up. We're gonna do these next week.
Let's think about this, right? Obviously, Raw Monday Power, which we never even got to, is on Tuesday.
Well, we still got time.
Yeah. Well, and there's just a couple cool things that I thought that really stood out from that show. Obviously, Wednesday NXT, and then you have Dynamite. I could do it Tuesday. I mean, do our predictions.
I think we can safely do our predictions on Tuesday because Raw.
We should have all the
done.
Matches kind of. Well, besides.
Well, NXT, you might have an NXT match there.
Yeah.
Might not. But I think we can go ahead and do those predictions. Let's just do it Tuesday.
That could be cool.
We'll release it Tuesday. And I'll tell you what, right now it's shaping up to have some interesting stuff. We've talked about the Braun Strowman, Tyson Fury stuff, the Brock Lesnar, Kane Velasquez stuff, which is eh.
We have somebody that's going to challenge AJ.
Right. We've got, there's a 20-man, so far they've set up with a 20-man Battle Royal.
Awesome.
And then the winner of the Battle Royal goes against AJ Styles.
Is it going to be immediately following the Battle Royal?
I don't know, but
is AJ going to come out and try to say
to be for the United States Championship?
Ooh,
so that puts a nice little wrinkle in there. Plus, we've got the pomp and circumstance of Team Hogan versus Team Flair, which we're going to get an update on that tomorrow night on Miz TV. Can't wait to see that. So far on Team Flair, you've got Randy Orton, King Corbin. I mean, it's a winning team so far.
Oh, hail King Corbin.
Hold on. Think about this. Team Flair has got Randy Orton, who's no lightweight.
Did you see his post on Instagram?
With the Elite?
Yeah.
Did you see King Corbin's post when he's sitting inside of a Striker, one of those sweet cars?
No.
Super, super hot rod car. I mean, like a $100,000 car or more.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's like 6'7".
Dude.
So he's like cramped in. He's like, these are almost my kind of car.
Yeah.
But King Corbin, Bobby freaking Lashley.
Yep.
Drew McIntyre.
Dude, what a team.
And then Shinsuke Nakamura.
Golly, the IC champ.
So you've got Team Flair against Team Hogan, which is Roman Reigns.
The big dog.
Rusev. Ricochet.
Are we actually going to see Rusev get his hands on Lashley in that match?
And Ali.
It's kind of stacked on one side, if you ask me.
Team Flair, even though out of lately Flair has been out of control.
Dude, absolutely. On Raw, he gave away the match that McIntyre was going to have.
Yeah, he's he's out of, and plus he was like John at a fan that was, you know, heckling him and stuff like that. He's out of control, and I kind of like it.
Yeah.
And when he was on with Miz TV the last time, Miz played off it perfect. Miz is
he's
great.
So good.
So I can't wait to watch that on SmackDown on FS1.
Yeah.
I love how everything FS1 one time only.
Yeah, FS1 one time only. Stupid baseball.
But of course, we talked about the other ones. Mansoor, Cesaro. I think this is the lead in. If there's anything that comes out of this pay-per-view, which most of the time, nothing comes out of these kind of pay-per-views, this might be the thing that puts Cesaro into NXT.
Right. These Crown Jewel events, they're kind of in their own world.
They're one and done.
Yeah, it's in a whole, obviously it's different country, but it's in like a different reality.
And it was almost one and done.
Did you see the parade with The Undertaker?
I saw that.
Was that really him?
The float that they had with The Undertaker, and I think they had Roman Reigns as well.
Yeah, Taker was on the float.
Taker was
already over there. They just left him from last time.
I heard the food's great.
Yeah.
So he didn't leave him from last time.
He has the hookah going and everything.
So the only thing that came out of the last Crown Jewels was the best in the world.
Yeah.
Which didn't really happen for a while And then it finally came back.
But we got like, something out of it.
Shane McMahon's like, I got the best in the world. So you might see that come out of this incredible nine-team tag team turmoil match.
This is crazy.
Which I still don't know the rules quite yet. But you've got.
Is it anybody can tag anybody?
I don't know. New Day, Viking Raiders, Heavy Machinery, Lucha House Party.
Yeah.
Well, I like Grand Metalik now. I really, really do.
I mean, they're good.
Hawkins, Zack Ryder, The Revival, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, and of course, my favorite team, Rudolph.
Yep.
Robert Rudolph Ziggler. The B team, Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas. I don't see them being the best in the world, but...
How wild is it to think that Bo Dallas was like the NXT world champion?
But see, this is the World Cup.
Yeah.
This is the world... You're the World Cup.
So what do they
cup.
Carry around? The cup? What is
they
it like
a cup to carry around.
Is it like a Crockett cup?
Who would be the best one to carry around the cup that you haven't given it a belt to so far? Would it be the Lucha House Party?
No.
Would it be Heavy Machinery?
That would be cool. I like those guys, but it's going to go to the OC.
No. Think about this. Heavy Machinery, Otis and Tucker drinking out of the stinking cup all the time.
That'd be great.
Kurt Hawkins, Zack Ryder?
They need something.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
The Revival? No. Gallows and Anderson? No, they've got something. Rudolph? That could be a bragging point on them. The B team with the World Cup? Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
New Day? Nah, not so much.
Yeah.
Viking Raiders? No. So, I don't
know.
Dude,
it's up in the air.
This makes it fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to make for tough predictions, that's for sure.
And then we also have the rematch, even though there's no rematch clauses. And wait, has that been lifted? I guess that has been.
I suppose so.
Seth Rollins and The Fiend.
They're going to get it right this time.
We're going to have a lot to talk about on Tuesday because...
They're going to get it right.
I've got to think about this. They have to get it right, A. B, they're doing it right in the wrong place because a lot of people, not you and I, but a lot of people don't watch these pay-per-views because they're, like you said before, meaningless.
Yeah, and they're super, super long.
They're super long.
It's a marathon.
The crowd tends not to be in it.
Yeah, they're all sitting there in their giant lazy boys playing on their freaking iPads.
Yeah, but there's two things I'm definitely looking forward to. I can't say that I'm not looking forward to the Seth Rollins Fiend match because I am.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely looking forward to the tag team turmoil and the Team Hogan Team Flair thing. For some reason, I know it's a joke, but it's got me so interested.
Yeah, there's real competitors.
Are you gonna see a leg drop?
No.
Are you gonna see a Flair flop?
No.
You might. But there's some interesting stuff going on. NWA Power, dude. Are they going to have a pay-per-view?
Actually, yeah. They talked about one at the
They're coming to Nashville.
Yeah?
Yeah, NWA Power is coming to Nashville.
Are you sure Power is, or is it a pay-per-view? Because Power is all that stuff is shot in Georgia.
It's in Atlanta. Atlanta. No, I thought there was something. NWA is coming to Nashville.
I'd be down.
I'm not sure, but that could possibly be, and that's exactly where we're broadcasting from.
Yeah, and a couple of the hot points from Power was, and getting back to our original topic at the beginning of the show, was who could main event WrestleMania.
Right.
Gosh, are we not professional.
Wow, we went off on a 45-minute tangent.
Nick Aldis.
Sure.
I am so freaking sold on this guy.
With Camille.
Absolutely.
Not without, with Camille.
I recently bought, it wasn't recently, actually, a few months back when Ring of Honor was here, I bought the Crockett Cup DVD set. Finally watched it. Really cool stuff to watch.
Right.
Marty Scurll and Nick Aldis. What a friggin' match, dude. I stood up at the end of it. And I was just clapping my hands. I was like, that was a damn good match.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, Nick Aldis has the look. He has the build. He has the face. He has the wrestling ability. He certainly has the insurance policy.
The persona.
Absolutely. He's the national treasure. And who better to be the NWA world champion? Because if you look at him, if you could chisel out of granite what the NWA world champion should look like.
Right.
It's Nick Aldis. I could totally see him main eventing a WrestleMania.
And
he was one of the high points on Power for me.
I can also see Eli Drake.
Drake, even though he keeps talking like he's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I know, but
next time he's on the mic, listen to that.
Eli Drake is definitely cut from the Nick Aldis.
Dude.
I mean, him, they could almost be mistaken as twins
He's
in some
good.
Aspects. Yeah.
He's good. And he actually teamed up with Tim Storm to take on the Dawsons.
Right.
And they're kind of just like a Southern badass tag team. And what I thought was so funny is everyone in the crowd keeps chanting, Dawson's Creek! Dawson's Creek! And they get so mad. It's awesome. But they actually ended up beating Eli Drake and Tim Storm. Now, this match came to be because Tim Storm's out there. He's contemplating whether or not he should retire, this or that. Eli Drake comes out, convinces him otherwise.
Right.
Tim Storm shows up to be his tag partner, and Tim gets pinned.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm just like, week one, he has a tough loss to Nick Aldis, where if he loses, he can't challenge for the NWA World's Championship again. Hmm. And now he drops a match. So it's this whole cool story with Tim Storm where it's like you're kicking a guy when he's down,
mm-hmm.
and you're invested to see him rise up, you know? And that was the big story coming out of Power, and I thought it was really cool.
I think that's where you get those little seeds. Every once in a while, we don't understand the Rusev angle. He comes out as the father of Kanellis' baby, which whatever happened to that?
I don't know.
But all I know is they set seeds for certain things. And when they know that the seeds are not going to be fertile, they cut them, cover them up, and plant something else. And these little seeds, like you're seeing here, the storytelling, this is the kind of storytelling that AEW is missing.
Yeah.
It needs to come, they need to have something like that. And I think Dude, you're going to make me want to watch the rest of it. So I didn't watch. I only watched the first 30 minutes.
You got to, man.
I didn't get to the funny commercial. Which was that?
Man, it was, this is going to become like a running
Absolutely.
Thing. Because people are raving about them.
Right.
It was some woman and her invisible hair cream.
Sweet.
So she's like, are you tired of your hair getting in the way all the time? Are you trying to be intimate, but your hair just won't let you? Don't shave it off. Use my invisible hair cream. You're not bald. You're invisible.
Oh.
And I'm just like, this is outrageous. What number do I call?
Right?
I want to find this out.
It's almost as good as waffles and tire irons.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
Not quite that good, but almost.
And I don't know if this week we got one for the
Tony
Wrestling School again.
Not the Tony Atlas, but what's the guy's name? I can't think of it. Wrestling University.
Yeah. I got 9,000 square feet of wrestling space.
You want to be
Austin
rich?
Idol. You want to be a rich Idol. Wrestler? I want to be like you, Austin. Teach me how to do it, Daddy. Well, come to my, just go fill out that application. Application. So good.
It's NWA Power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, before we do put a bow on the show, it's pretty cool to kick off season 2.
Yeah, dude. And
episode 1.
Free for all, boy.
Yeah.
Way to go. You totally threw us off. We started
to
talk about NWA Power, and then we just started talking about everything going on.
Yeah, I wanted to. I wanted to kind of make the show a little less predictable, for the listener.
Are you saying
listener.
A little less AEW?
A lot less AEW, please,
not,
going forward.
Not that we're not bagging on AEW.
No.
I mean, the performances, but they still are putting people in the spotlight. I liked, like, Joey Janela. I like the guy. It's too much of like a Randy Macho Man, something else mixed for me that's not original.
It's like the homeless Macho Man.
Right. They've got
Speaking of Macho Man, my sister, she's going to be the Macho Mom, Randy Savage, for Halloween.
Nice.
She's dressing up her little one-year-old Ezra as Hulk Hogan.
Sweet.
He's got the blonde hair.
They're going to be the Mega Powers?
It's going to be great, yeah. But dude, I want to hash this out with you right now going forward.
Yeah.
What kind of things can we do to be... To be creative, do we dig back into the crates? Do we like review some old shows? Do we do some watch-alongs? I want to try to come up with stuff so it's not like, all right, so hear me out. It feels like lately with us doing this show, we have so much wrestling to watch.
Yeah.
On top of our own lives, on top of our busy freaking jobs.
Yeah.
I get work to the bone here.
Right.
You didn't know. I work too much, but... I'm thinking, have you felt this way where it's like, man, I have to watch this wrestling and consume all this content because it's kind of my job now.
Yeah.
But when we began this, it was like, we're always talking about wrestling in the halls. Why not turn the mics on?
Right.
it became kind of a job.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get back to we're super excited to talk about this stuff and not just like, well, this is what happened and this is what we thought.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think when it comes to the highlights, when it comes to the big picture stuff, I don't want to get into the little things. Like, we didn't mention like the tag team championship tournament that's going on, which that is kind of interesting with AEW because they're having a tournament for the belts.
Tournaments are always cool, usually.
I always like trying to see where things are going. And I think listeners and I think that people that love wrestling, they're like, oh my gosh, like this Rusev angle, if you take this for an example. What is going to happen? Is Lana going to turn on Bobby Lashley, or was this a whole big setup for Bobby Lashley for Rusev to destroy him?
I don't know.
Or is this something totally different where you're going to see Rusev get somebody else against Bobby Lashley with him? Or where is this story going?
The way I see it going, I think this whole Lashley-Rusev-Lana thing, I think it just makes Rusev human.
Rather than
just being the Bulgarian brute where you think he can just run through walls. It it makes you empathize with him. It makes you sympathize with him. It makes you emotionally invested.
He's no Shockmaster, but he can run through walls.
No, well, gosh, hopefully he doesn't fall over.
I told you.
Gosh.
Oh God.
Yeah, man.
I told you.
Oh God. He's not just shocking. That's still one of the best clips ever.
Once in a while, we need to start coming up with things like, let's find the worst lines of wrestling history, or the worst storylines.
The worst promos.
Or the best storylines.
The best of the worst. The best of the worst.
Goosebump moments.
Yeah.
You know? Daniel Bryan, the Yes Movement.
Yeah.
That was a goosebump moment.
Could you imagine us trying to do a watch-along episode with Crown Jewel? We'd be here for 7 hours.
Not just that. I mean, we could do it. Not this time, because it's on Halloween, idiots. And they didn't call it Halloween Havoc, idiots. That's what we want.
Yeah.
We don't want Crown Jewel on Halloween.
And I think that's just going to be their standard name going forward.
For everything in Saudi?
Yeah.
Well.
The Crown Jewel.
Or the Super Showdown or.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, it probably translates well.
Right.
You know, but don't do it on Halloween.
Undertaker's still there.
I know. He's still there. But what is he going to do?
He's in a parade. They're just using him as a prop now.
I know, but looking at the card, I mean, they've got the 20-man Battle Royal. Do you put him in there?
Maybe.
And he wins, and then he beats AJ Styles for the championship? Huge!
No, Undertaker joins the OC.
That would be cool, too. Do you think it would be like back to badass Undertaker?
American badass style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Riding the bike. Coming out to Kid Rock. I like that stuff. I like the American Badass Undertaker.
I loved all the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Except when he crucified Stephanie. I thought that was a little much.
I liked it.
I thought it
was. She deserved it.
Maybe, but it was a bit much. I'm kind of a wuss, so.
No, I get it. That's why this whole stuff with Lashley and this interracial,
I don't care about any of that. No? The only thing I don't like is, like you said, If I had a grandson or a son that hey, come watch wrestling.
Cover up your eyes, kid.
Yeah. Oh, Bobby Lashley's on. You know. Oh, the Rusev angle's on.
Let's change it.
What's this over here? Is this Disney? So
it makes me uncomfortable. I'm a grown man.
Uncomfortable. None of that makes me uncomfortable except for when they start the innuendos that aren't innuendos.
Right.
They're just way too obvious. And to me, there's a place for that. I think there's always a place for that because I think wrestling has to be sexy in some points.
And it's always later in the show, too.
Sure. And that's fine. But again, it's, you know, I'm watching it with my wife and she's like, what are you watching?
Yeah. Are you watching? She's like, Moose, are you watching Spanish soaps again?
Right. But that, to your point, like you said last week, it's just like a soap opera. So,
yeah.
And soap operas are a little bit more than that.
Risque.
Yeah. They're a bit much.
They're very Cinemax.
Yeah, they're raunch. That's all they are. They're just raunchy.
Raunchy. It's a good word.
All right. Well, we got predictions next week.
Yeah, we do.
On the Crown Royal.
The Crown Royal, man. We're going to need a few of them to get through the show.
Yes, we are. I'm gonna request Apple.
Yeah,
Crown Royal Apple.
That starts at what? Like
delicious.
11 o'clock for us?
I believe it is 11 o'clock for our time, which doesn't matter because I'm actually going to be working during that time.
That's right.
I've got a live broadcast.
Well, at least you'll be able to skip through.
Yeah, no, I can't. The network still isn't working on one of my TVs. So
what?
I'm just going to have to, you know, Black Friday, go get another TV.
That's BS.
Maybe two more. I don't know.
Why do you need that many? I'll take some of your old ones.
I wish they were. I wish they all. No, I I'm just thinking I need one for the garage. I need one for the... No, I'm kidding.
So you're picking up a new TV. I just got a Nintendo Switch Lite.
I heard they're awesome.
Yeah.
What's the game?
It's a straight up Nintendo Switch, but you can't actually switch it. You can't use it on your TV. It's only handheld.
But what is the game you're playing?
The game I'm playing right now is Super Mario World from the Super Nintendo. Love that game.
Because
with access,
I can win that game in my sleep,
dude. Some of it's tough. Like, I don't remember some of these hidden doors and stuff.
Whatever.
But I brought that up because I was thinking about, I don't use my Xbox ever anymore.
What?
I don't. I just don't play games on it no more.
No Grand Theft?
No, I don't play Grand Theft. I don't do WWE on it. I don't do Madden. I don't do NBA like I used to. I think it's just a big waste of time.
Because you have an Xbox. And they only have like one good game that's pure Xbox game. What is that? What's that space age hardcore game that everybody
Destiny?
Gets in? No, it's another one, but who cares?
Right.
Go to PS4, you'll be on it every day.
But I'm saying, I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, you know, maybe I'll pick up WWE, see what it's all about.
The 2K10? The
2K20? Yeah, because I'm waiting for Nintendo to launch their Super Nintendo, their N64 library on their network,
mm-hmm.
so you can play all those games on your Switch, so I can play No Mercy again.
That'd be
which
cool.
I actually have No Mercy on my N64 at home, but it would be cool to take it to work with me and just screw around.
That's true. Anytime we can screw around at work, we're all about it.
Yeah, but I was going to pick up 2K20, and then I see this video on Twitter. Kevin Owens wins the Money in the Bank match via pinfall.
What?
And the game is glitching like crazy.
Yeah, I saw there's some goods and some bads to it. That's an update.
It doesn't look great either.
Once you get the update, you'll be fine.
I'm sure.
It's the Fiend, dude. The Fiend is messed with anything. That's why the graphics were upside down. The Fiend was all in the system.
Yeah, he was screwing around.
You know, if you didn't buy it, you know, if you didn't get the pre-sale with the Fiend in it, then it's all screwed up.
If I can buy a package to where I could fight in a Money in the Bank match with Rambly the Rabbit, I'm in.
Yeah. Well, so far the last 2K I think I got was 2K18
yeah.
or maybe 19.
I thought you would have it by now.
No, I the 2K13 game years ago was one of the best games.
Yeah,
I played that for 5 years before I got another one.
Super good.
I didn't need to get another one because they kept updating you, and once in a while you get a new wrestler in there and stuff like that, which is fine. But all I did was just whoop my kids' ass.
It's kind of just 2K as a whole. They're really dropping the ball.
You think so?
Yeah, because NBA 2K the last couple years really sucked.
You can't punch anybody in the face anymore?
No, and I still bought it. And then it's all a cash grab because you have to dump money into it to get your character better to be able to compete online.
Yeah, are they still doing the FIFA games and stuff like that? Is that 2K
I think that's EA.
EA, okay.
Yeah, but
because they're the Madden guys, right?
They're doing Madden, but even that game is still the same thing since Madden 10.
Then why get the updates?
That's what I'm saying.
Why don't they just update it with the
Maybe
new players?
I'm just old now. Maybe I'm just curmudgeon.
God, you are getting worse than I am.
Right?
I'm still a child at heart.
Come on.
What's wrong with you?
I used to be one. I don't know what's going on.
Are we still rambling?
Rambling rabbit. Anyhow, for Moose, I'm JR. This has been Pro Wrestling Lifers, the season premiere of season 2, episode 1.
Only 51 more episodes to go before we get to season 3. Dude, season 3, I heard it gets really good.
It gets, oh yeah. That's when the stories really hit their climax. Well, we'll catch you next week, and we promise to have some exciting, entertaining, fun, innovative content for you. If you have any recommendations for the podcast,
sure.
Please drop a comment below wherever you might find this, or you can just DM me on Twitter. I'll write you right back at your fave homie JR.
Did you say Dookie?
Yeah.
Dookie.
No, I didn't say that. I was going to say
rip 'em.
And when you hear rip 'em, that's when you know the show's over.
Oh.
Rip 'em.
Which one? That one or the one before?
This one.
Oh. Rip 'em.